Andrew Grummet's podcast for December 11th, 2005. Hello, hello, hello. It's Andrew Grummet here, podcasting to you almost live from Alameda, California. I'm at our new home here. I was thinking about, you know, Adam Curry has the Curry Castle and the condo and the cottage. So what could this house be? There aren't many words. I checked thesaurus.reference.com, and there aren't many words for house or home that start with G. I'll just tell you that. So best I could come up with was the Grummet Garrison. What do you think? Well, maybe not. So it's a big empty house right now. It's a nice house. I'm very happy with it, actually. So I'm the advance team coming out to scope the place out and settle it so that it can be civilized by the rest of the family. They'll be out here. The rest of the family's coming out after Christmas. And I am so looking forward to being here with them. So the moment for the advance team, we have no phone. Cell phone, my T-Mobile service doesn't reach out here. And we have no internet. But at least the cable guy will be coming on Tuesday, so that'll be good. But happily for me and for any of you listening to this, thank God, actually, we have one of my neighbors has been kind enough to leave their Wi-Fi open. Oh, such a good thing. Thank you, whoever you are, neighbor near my den, who's giving me 5 bars of Netgear signal. Thank you. So there's no cookware here either. There's almost nothing. So when I get home after work, I've been living on lean cuisines, which are actually pretty good. I don't know if you've ever... I mean, they're dead simple, right? Because you just stick them in the microwave. But, I like them anyway. The downside is they're not very filling. So I've been having two. So does it still count if I have two? I don't know. But it works. It's dinner. It's nutritious. I'll look forward to being able to cook when everything else shows up. So the coolest thing about this place so far, paradoxically enough, is the commute. Not because it's short. It's actually not a short commute. It probably takes me a good hour to get in. But we're living, you know, across the bay on this island, and the island has ferry service to downtown San Francisco. So what I've been doing, I've been experimenting with different kinds of commutes. There's a bunch of ways you can do it, but probably the most fun way to commute is to take the ferry across the bay. It's a 25-minute ride, and to my great surprise, now not surprise, but things here seem a little more laid back than they are in New England. On the boat ride home Friday, they had a bar, like a stocked bar, in the boat, meaning I was able to get a glass of wine and just kind of wind down from being at the office. I cracked my laptop open, did a little hacking, sipped a glass of wine, you know, stepped off the boat and walked home. Not too bad. So I'm not sure that'll work every day, because you got to keep to the ferry schedule if you want to do that, but it was pretty darn pleasant. So it's been a couple of weeks since I podcasted last, and a bunch of stuff has happened. I'll talk about a few things. Let's see. One of the things in this picking up the family and moving across the country thing that we have to sort out is how to get our pets to the West Coast. We've got two cats. And I don't know, this falls into the category of the stupid things that we do for our pets, but my wife and I decided that since we've got two cats, it would just be a little bit too crazy to bring them both with us, you know, and the whole family all at once across the country. You know, we can't sort of do this easily by car, although my friend Scott, he and I sort of brainstormed for a little while to drive together across the country, have a little, you know, have a fun geek adventure. But I'll have been gone for 2 weeks by the time I get back to Boston, and the last thing I want to do is kiss my wife and say, okay, I'm going to hop in a car, I'll see you in 3 days. So I decided not to drive. The other reason to do that, besides getting the cats across, would be to get we have a car there, and how to get the car across the country, but that's a whole other story. So instead of putting the cats in the back of the car and driving across the country, we decided we would, you know, take them on planes. And since I was coming out here last weekend, I took one of them on that trip and made a special leg of the trip to drop the cat off with my in-laws in Southern California. So that was last Sunday, a week ago. And so the thing about traveling with a pet is, assuming they're small, these are just house cats we have, so they're not, you know, big dogs or, you know, the thing about it, traveling with a pet is you sort of have three choices. You can take them with you on the plane, you can take them with you and send them with your bags below decks, or you can send them below decks on their own as cargo. So the thing about sending them, well, there's all kinds of issues about, you know, the sort of trauma that the cat goes through if you send them underneath. But if you want to send them underneath, you've got to meet certain temperature restrictions, you know, because they, you know, you don't want them to get too cold or hot. And the day before I left town, it had snowed straight all day. So in Boston, it was cold, and, you know, you could never really be sure too far ahead of time what the temperature would be like on a given day. And so if you can live with a little bit of uncertainty about when you're actually going to send your pet, and assuming it hasn't already gotten too cold, they say 45 Fahrenheit is the cutoff. You know, you might be able to send them underneath, but we decided to keep things simple, and I just took the cat with me on the plane. So the next thing you got to figure out if you bring them on the plane with you is what to carry them in. Your carrier is supposed to be able to sit in front of, you know, underneath the seat. So after a bunch of searching around, I actually linked to one of these sites on my weblog from late November. If you check that at grummet.net/weblog, but one of the sort of pre-approved carriers is called a Sherpa carrier. So I went to our local Petco, I think it was, and got myself a Sherpa carrier that was about 11 by 11 by 17. And happily enough, when I got in the plane with the, you know, and kind of got myself all situated, the carrier did fit under the seat. You know, there was, that's really the main concern as you get in there with this bag that they can't check, and what are you going to do with it? So it did fit under the seat. It was a little tight. So if you're traveling with one of these things and you have a choice, you know, try to book yourself in the extra leg room part of the plane, or you know, business class, or whatever you can do. Actually, this was a Sunday night and it wasn't very busy, so I asked them to put me in a row that wasn't, you know, that was either empty or maybe wasn't likely to be full, and that was pretty nice, because I actually wound up getting my own row. And so I just, instead of putting the cat underneath, I put him and the cat and the carrier in the seat next to me, which was kind of nice, because, you know, the cat was meowing up a storm, but because he was right there, I was able to unzip the top and stick my hand in there and kind of scratch his neck and stuff. And I pretty much did that the whole flight, which, from what I understand, yeah, makes a big difference in the trauma they go through. So that's definitely, if you probably have the least impact on them. So we have one more cat to shuttle across when the rest of the family comes over, and I'll have done it once now and sort of know what to expect. Probably the biggest surprise of that whole thing was that, and I guess in retrospect it's not that surprising, but if you've ever traveled through airport security with a baby, you know that, you know, you don't send them through in the car seat or the stroller. You take the baby out of the car seat or whatever you're, you know, and carrying, and you and the baby go through the gate. Well, the same is true for the cat. The cat had to come out of its carrier for me to get him through. And I think I still have a battle scar or two from that. Cat was wanting to go right back into that carrier after we got through security. All right, so one more thing to check off on, you know, stuff I know how to do, you know, travel on a plane with a pet. So once I got out here, I think I mentioned we have this house now. I got out here Monday morning after dropping the cat off in Southern California. I hopped a shuttle up to San Francisco on Monday morning, and, you know, got a rental car and went from the airport to the realtor's office and picked up the keys to the house and went to work. So that, I guess it was probably that first night, having nothing in the house, I sort of needed to find a place that had, you know, something to sleep on, blankets, pillows, paper products, all the fun stuff you need to, you know, you need to put in a house to make it livable, or at least barely livable. So I thought I might try and go to a Target. You guys know about that, actually I should say Target. It's that high culture, that high culture import from France, Target. So I couldn't actually find a Target close by to where the house is. But on the other hand, there was a Walmart. There's a Walmart up by the Oakland Airport, which isn't too far from here. And this is actually, believe it or not, I had never ever been to a Walmart. So this was my first time. I don't know, I'd sort of, you hear so much about it, but it was big, absolutely. It was totally huge. Some good news is that I didn't have any problems finding my way around. The signage, I think, is actually quite good. It's better than in a lot of the other, you know, sort of Home Depots or, you know, BJ's, or that's more of a Boston thing, but I guess Costco is the one that you have all around the country. Surprisingly easy to find my way around. So that was impressive. But I don't know. Oh, yeah, and the other cool thing, actually, was the... I thought this was kind of cool. When you're checking out, they have this bagging gizmo. It looked to me like an example of really nice design. It's this circular platform, and it's got a triangle at the center, kind of sort of a triangle, like a prism in the center, a short, squat prism. And on each side of the three sides of the prism is a line of bags. And so the cashier, they put your stuff in each of the three bags that's facing them, and then they just rotate the platform and they get another three bags, and you pick up your stuff on the other side and put it in your cart. I thought that was kind of cool, right? That seemed like pretty good design to me. But getting home, I just had the sneaking suspicion that, you know, they say that they sell for less, but I got the suspicion that they sell for less because, you know, you get less. I was looking over the rolls of these were rolls of paper towels in a size that I'd never sort of seen before. They were much smaller rolls, and you know, they didn't see, the toilet paper rolls didn't seem to have as much. I don't know. That's probably just my perception, but I wasn't exactly there for the best prices or anything. I just needed a wide selection, a place that just would have everything. So I don't know if I'll go back to the Walmart, but at least they had what I needed, and that was good. Let's see. So this weekend, then I had a week of, you know, just sort of doing my thing and hanging out at Podshow HQ during the day. And I had basically rented a car, you know, for my trips, either, you know, back and not so much to work because I was taking the boat a lot, but you know, getting around here in Alameda, I had my rental car, and so the rental car was good through Sunday. So I made it my goal to get my car, you know, to get myself a car, a keeper car, by Saturday, or by Sunday when I had to return it. So the story of buying a car, I'd blogged a little bit earlier in the week about biodiesel. You know, Adam Curry's been talking about it a lot, and it's definitely something that's of interest to me. So I thought about it a little bit. I guess I decided that, you know, needing something to really get around and be reliable, that probably, and also learning how to do it in the process, and being in a new city and having just moved, I just decided maybe that'd be better to help Adam with, or something like that. You know, take it on as a separate project. Aside from my daily needs. Interestingly enough, in my research, I read somewhere that you can't, there's some environmental regulation now, you can't buy a new diesel car in California at the moment. My uncle, who lives nearby, I was talking to him about it, and he said that he'd heard that there was a concern about particulate emissions in a particular size range, and, you know, I'm not actually sure what the story is there, but I guess if you want to do the biodiesel thing, you've got to buy used at the moment, or at least in California. I also looked a little bit into hybrids. Got the impression that there isn't a lot of inventory, that if you want a Prius or a Civic's got a hybrid, and I guess Ford Escape. There's. I didn't actually check the Escape because that's an SUV and I just need a little commuter car. But from a couple calls, I nobody seemed to have them, that these are still, they're just not making them fast enough for all the demand, which I guess isn't surprising, especially out here in California where people put a lot of miles. You know, it's not, you don't typically walk from place to place. You know, like in Boston, you can pretty much walk anywhere if you are so inclined and energetic. But here, there's a lot of demand for hybrids, and I needed a car fast, and decided to look beyond that. I did do quite a bit of researching. I had a copy of the Consumer Reports car review of 2005, thanks to my in-laws. But I also did a lot of hunting around online. And one cool thing I found, I also blogged about this, was Car Buyer's Notebook at carbuyersnotebook.com. And this is a weblog and podcast published by, let me see if I get this right, Frank Genovese. So I kind of stumbled on this through Google searching. But I got to say, I listened to a bunch of his podcasts, and I dig what he's doing. You know, he's doing a nice job on the podcast and sort of striking a decent tone. It's pretty clear he's got production value. You don't hear a lot of ums and ahs, and I think I could tell that there were some edits a little bit here and there. But it's pretty smooth, and he strikes a nice balance between, you know, he's informational, but also you know, you can hear his voice in there just a bit, and I dig what he's doing, so I enjoyed that. And he has some links, must have some kind of affiliate deal or something, but he links to a quoting service called invoicedealers.com, so since I like his stuff so much, I went ahead and followed the link from his site, and lined up a bunch of quotes late in the week. I did go ahead and make a, you know, token effort at looking at seeing if I could get some quotes on a Prius, but I also looked at Honda Civic and Mazda 3. This is the Mazda 3 actually is used to be the Protege, and before that it was the 323. So we have a history. My wife actually has a history of owning these little Mazdas, and we liked them a lot. So that was that was kind of what led me there. So I got a couple phone calls and a lot of emails in response to the quotes, and I guess the best of them, of all of those, was from a guy named Nicholas San Pedro at Mazda Oakland. And what I liked about his response, I got an email response from him with, when somebody, you read what they have to say and the tone seems right and they seem helpful and the way they say things, just you connect with it. That's kind of how Nick's response was for me. So the nice thing about it was that he sort of got right to it. He located a car for me. This is all within, I think I put in my request Wednesday night, and by sort of midday Thursday, he'd found a car, a specific car, with a specific option set and a VIN number, and he sent me a quote with the MSRP and the invoice price and what price they could give me if I, you know, responded within a certain number of days. And it was nice. You know, I talked to some other people and they would say, oh, why don't you come in? And, you know, they'd be a little coy about whether they had, you know, the car I wanted or not, you know, non-specific, so I went with Nick. I just really liked his response, and this was at the Mazda place, so the Mazda 3. I was sort of, you know, if I couldn't find a hybrid, I was sort of thinking a Civic or a Mazda 3. And so Nick was at the Mazda, and so he was prompt and specific, and I scheduled a test drive with him on Saturday morning at first thing at 9:15, and that was yesterday. Yeah, wow, okay. So that got us to yesterday. So yesterday morning I went in and I did my test drive and really liked the car, and decided to buy it at 10 o'clock, and then and drove it home at about 12:30. So it actually purchasing a car, there's a bunch of things you got to do. There's a lot of paperwork and stuff. And would have been faster, but I, knowing that I would probably spend an hour plus sitting and filling out paperwork, I went out and got myself some breakfast at around 10, and then decided, okay, and then went back and sort of did all my paperwork and so forth. And overall, it was pretty good experience. You know, everything came off nicely. I guess if there was one negative of the whole experience, it was fiddling around with the financing. If in order to drive a car off the lot, you have to prove to them that you have insurance. And so while I was sitting at the desk, I went ahead and called up my insurance company and sort of got them to fax over, you know, a proof of insurance. You know, I set up the policy on the phone and had them fax over proof of insurance to the dealership. And so this is a big, this particular company is quite large and has a financing arm, among other things. And so they said, oh, well, do you want to finance your car through us? And I said, sure, why not? Let's get it all done on the phone. And so I had them quote me a rate, and basically we agreed on a deal over the phone, and so that was great, and I thought we were all done. But then the dealership came back, and I guess these financing deals are worth something as an investment. So the dealership came back and said, oh, well, we can beat their rate, and these are token amounts. I mean, it's a few dollars here, a few dollars there per month. You know, it's real money. So if somebody offers you a better deal, you want to take it, but. It was, then I had to go back and call my original company and say, well, they offered me this. Can you do better? And there was some back and forthing. And, I wanted a good price, but, for a few bucks a month, all these back and forthing and being in the middle of it, it would have been better if they could have just given me the best deal right at the beginning. So that was one small negative on what was overall actually a very good experience. So I meant today to post a picture of the car, but it sort of got dark before I got a chance to do it. So maybe I'll try and post a picture, tomorrow or the next day or something. Nicholas, my contact there at Mazda Oakland, did a great job for me, though. I definitely would recommend him if you're in the area and looking for a car. He's Nicholas San Pedro at Mazda Oakland. He and I have actually traded a couple emails, so that's pretty cool. I asked him if I could use his name in the podcast, and he said, sure, no problem. Please do. So he's a smart guy, and that's cool. So he pointed me to the Mazda 3 forums site. We're owners and enthusiasts of these things. Talk about their cars, and so I want to go over there and try and figure out how to hack an iPod into my stereo. And I guess I should say, they're not, I didn't get any special deal from them for talking about them. This is no, I'm only plugging them just because I had a good experience. So take that as you will. All right. Well, I think my voice is getting dry here, and it's probably been a good 20 minutes or actually let's do a time check. Yeah, 22, 23 minutes. That's about as long as I usually go. Let's see. I'll be another week here at the Garrison. I don't know. I think that's got to go. But to our new home in Alameda. So I'll be here another week, and then I go back to Boston on Friday to pack up the moving trucks and get the family back out here to the West Coast. So not sure if I'll podcast when I will podcast again, but I hope to be talking to you guys again soon. And until then, I hope you are all well, and we'll talk to you next time. So this is Andrew Grummet's podcast for December 11th, 2005, signing off.